Amen. Please be seated. Our gospel lesson is from the gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. As we continue in our series in Luke, in a mini-series within Luke, we conclude that mini-series within Luke on the Lord's Prayer as recorded by Luke, and where we find these wonderful words of life and victory for the children of God and the disciples of Christ. Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.' The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Let's look to our God once again in prayer. We delight, O God, that because of your grace to us in your Son, we are able to call you Father. Remind us even now how much you delight in us as we ask you to lead us in the way of Christ by the power of your Spirit. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Well, as we mentioned last week, the petitions of the Lord's Prayer, as they come to us in Luke's Gospel, can be summarized by the five P's. Praise, hallowed be your name. Power, your kingdom come. Provision, give us our daily bread. Pardon, forgive us our sins. And the last one, which we consider today, protection. Lead us not into temptation. So let's consider that petition under two headings this morning. First, the Father who delights to lead us. And second, the way he leads us away from temptation. First, the Father, the loving Heavenly Father, who delights to lead us, his children. By teaching us to pray to the Heavenly Father, lead us not into temptation, Jesus was teaching us that we have a Father in heaven who wants to lead us. He delights to lead us as we willingly follow him. Imagine a father leading a small child by the hand in a highly trafficked area, congested part of a big city. Without the father's care, the child would be in grave danger. But with the father's guiding hand, the child is safe and secure. The Heavenly Father, in his wisdom, power, and love, delights to lead his children in that way. And that is the revelation not only of the New Testament with the coming of Christ, God's Son, but also of the Old Testament, which Jesus was building on here. As we've seen throughout the Lord's Prayer, Jesus is taking Old Testament concepts and, as it were, turning them into prayer to the Heavenly Father, more fully revealed in Jesus, his Son. God, you may remember from the Old Testament, led Abraham out of works, righteousness, idolatry, and into God's unmerited covenant of grace. God led the children of Israel out of bondage in Egypt, through the dried up sea and the wilderness, and into the promised land. He led them with a cloud by day and a fiery light by night. He led them through judges and kings. He preserved them amidst famines and plagues and exiles and in spite of their own repeated failures. The Psalms, as we've already hinted at through the psalm that Dennis read earlier, the Psalms are a trove of celebrations regarding the leading hand of God. As Dennis read from Psalm 23:2, "He leads me," said David, "beside still waters." Psalm 25:9, "He leads the humble in what is right." Psalm 68:6, "He leads out the prisoners into triumphant liberty with singing." Psalm 139:9-10, "If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me." So Jesus was saying, "My Father, who led his people of old and who leads me even now to do his will, he is your Father, dear disciple, by grace. And he delights to lead you, his adopted child." Jesus was saying to us, "Because you belong to me, you also belong to him. So I am teaching you that you can rely on him. I am teaching you that he loves to hold your hand and lead you." It's no drudgery for him. It's sheer delight to hold his child's hand and to lead him or her through the vicissitudes and challenges of this life. Jesus was saying, "I am teaching you, therefore, to reach out your hand to him in faith. And to ask him through prayer to lead you moment by moment and day by day. This is the way of victory. This is the way of joy. This is the way of strength. This is the way of fruitful walk and enlivened worship and effective witness as my disciples," says Jesus, "and as children of the Heavenly Father." What gospel truth Jesus was teaching us here when he taught us to pray, "Father, lead us. Lead us." So in the first place, the Father who delights to lead us. And in the second place, the way he leads us away from temptation. Out of temptation. Jesus taught us to pray to his Father and ours, "Lead us not into temptation." But what is meant by temptation in this case? The Greek word that is translated as temptation is a word that, depending on the context, could be translated as test or trial or even calamity or affliction. But I think temptation is the best translation in this case, especially given the way that Matthew's longer version of the prayer says, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," as we pray every Sunday. And as we've mentioned before, could be translated, "Deliver us from the evil one," Satan himself. So Jesus, I believe, is teaching us to pray to the Heavenly Father, "Do not lead us into the temptations of the tempter." Or as one of the Psalms puts it, "the snares of the fowler." The traps of the one who wants to trap us. Instead, deliver us from the tempter of old, the tempter who has been tempting and ensnaring and deceiving God's image bearers since the fall of man. And when we compare Jesus' teachings here to Jesus' similar words to his disciples later in Luke's gospel, in Luke chapter 22, we get a clue as to what the primary temptation is that the tempter puts before the disciple of Jesus. In Luke chapter 22, it was in the hours before Jesus was arrested, and Jesus took his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, which means oil press. It's a garden in the Mount of Olives. And so it was a place where olive oil was prepared there among the olive groves of that mountain. And Jesus said to his disciples there in Luke 22 and verse 40 there in the dark of night, "Pray that you may not enter temptation." Very important to connect that back to what he says here in the Lord's Prayer. He said, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." Very similar language that he used in the Lord's Prayer. And then after he prayed more to his Father, entering the agony of his passion, his sweat becoming like great drops of blood. After he prayed, "Father, not my will, but yours be done," Jesus went back to his disciples and found them dutifully praying, right? No.
Amen. No.
I normally don't get that much from a Presbyterian, but that was great. No. They were asleep. They were asleep on the job. And Jesus said to him, "Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation." He repeats it. Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation. So the question is, what was the temptation that the tempter was placing before those disciples? What was the trap that he was laying for those disciples at that juncture in their life of seeking to follow Jesus? What was the temptation that Jesus was telling them to pray to the Father about, asking him not to let them enter into it? Well, surely it was the temptation to forsake Jesus. The temptation to abandon Jesus, to deny him and leave his presence, his fellowship, their close communion with him. And friends, that temptation is at the core of every temptation that Satan sends our way as disciples of Jesus. It is the temptation to forfeit our close fellowship with Christ and through him by the Spirit with the Heavenly Father. It is the temptation to try to do life in our own strength at a distance from Jesus. As Peter backed away from Jesus and tried to follow him at a distance, that's the tempter's snare. Such that pride sets in our hearts. Self-righteousness sets in our lives. And we lose the power of our walk and our witness for Christ. So when we pray, "Lead me not into temptation," what we are praying is, "Father, lead me into a deeper and deeper relationship with your Son by the power of your Holy Spirit." How does he lead us out of temptation? Into a closer fellowship with the Son and a deeper experience of the grace and forgiveness and victory of his Son. When we pray, "Lead me not into temptation," we are praying to the Father, saying, "Your Son is my great deliverer. My strength is not in myself. Christ is my strength. Christ is my song. Christ is the one who gives me the victory. Lead me, O Father, to him the rock that is higher than I, my refuge, my strong tower against the enemy, to borrow the language of Psalm 61. And when we pray, lead us not into temptation. Again, here we are reminded of the corporate nature of this prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. And here, lead us not into temptation. We are reminded that we are in this journey of discipleship in this fallen world. We are in this journey together. And that we are called to pray for one another and to encourage one another as we seek to follow Christ together. And of course, one of the most beautiful and tangible pictures of this, that we're in this together and that we're looking to the Father to lead us to and through His Son, is right here in the meal before us this morning. Through it, our Father says, "This is my love for you." It is not a love that keeps you at a distance. It is a love that has come to you through the body and blood of my Son. So you come boldly, dear disciple, and you eat His flesh and you drink His blood. And I, your Heavenly Father, will lead you as the body of Christ in the way everlasting and in victory through my beloved Son. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.